Most financial advisors follow the industry playbook. Elite advisors choose a different path. I'm Sten Morgan. Welcome to the Elite Financial Advisor Podcast, where top advisors share the strategies, mindsets, and the stories behind building a better business, adding more value, and the courage to grow through resistance. Because becoming an elite advisor is not about working harder and longer. It's about choosing a better path.
For me, I feel like one of those, I wish someone had told me when I started down the entrepreneurial journey, how much your business requires you to change.
Both of my businesses have hit a point to where if it relies fully on Sten and support staff to support Sten, we're done. Like we've hit a ceiling to some degree, but there's more. There's more impact that can be made.
There are limits to it. Like you can still only get so much like maximally personally leveraged productivity out of yourself.
You know, there's kind of the average path. You build a practice that makes you great income. And once you get there, then you just kind of let it coast. And I think that's fine to some degree. But I was, you know, in my early 30s, like still kind of hungry as an entrepreneur to say, what's next?
What if the reason your practice isn't growing isn't your market, your marketing, or your team, but you? In today's episode, we're bringing together powerful moments from my two conversations with Michael Kitsis, where we unpack the hard truth. Every business hits a ceiling, and that ceiling is almost always the founder. You'll hear stories about growth that felt great until it started breaking. This conversation, we talk about hitting capacity walls, rebuilding teams, pausing revenue to fix infrastructure, and most importantly, redefining success from more growth to thriving without me. Because the next level doesn't require better tactics. It requires a new version of you. Let's dive in.
One of the fascinating things about the advisory business overall is, you know, most of us, the way we're taught to scale the business is essentially to scale ourselves. Spend all your time on the highest and best use, delegate the rest of the tasks down so we hire administrative staff so we don't have to do the paperwork, digital paperwork, the scheduling, the tasky things for clients, and maybe we hire an associate advisor so we don't have to do as much of the plan construction, the plan preparation, and we hire someone on investments to handle the trading tasks and someone maybe to help us out with marketing. And we start kind of building these teams around us to leverage ourselves up. I almost think of it like the doctor model. The very successful doctors have 3, 4, 5 different nurse and administrative support team around them to make sure that all their time is as optimized as possible to be patient facing. But there are limits to it. Like you can still only get so much like maximally personally leveraged productivity out of yourself before you just hit some, I was going to say some wall, I guess the better analogy is like some ceiling as we're leveraging up where it just can't get any further if you don't do something much more substantively different. It's a version of the old, was I think Drucker's, what got you here won't get you there. And I know you've lived some of this, Sten. You joined us previously in this like fast growth firm. So now we've had several more years of ongoing fast growth and the kinds of challenges or ceilings that can introduce. So I'm excited to talk about like what happens when you keep growing fast and then you start smacking into some walls and ceilings.
Yeah, I think step one is the humility to even say you have limits. So if we would have recorded this 3 years ago, I might not have told you that. But now I fully embrace that I have capacity issues, limitations as a leader, and all these things that the path of kind of getting beat up has kind of had to reveal that in me to where as a business owner now I can say I will not defend my inability to do everything perfectly. There's some things I can do really well, but for the gaps, to your point, both of my businesses have hit a point to where if it relies fully on Sten and support staff to support Sten, we're done. Like we hit a ceiling to some degree, but there's more. There's more impact that can be made. So it's now what's the next higher quality problem to solve? And to me, it's a talent thing.
Well, and it's interesting to me how it's played out, you know, for folks who actually want to go back and listen, you know, Sten's prior episode was episode 210, kitsis.com/210. And it really is a cool episode around how to explain your value, how to position your value, how to show it and talk about it in client meetings and prospect meetings to help get them on board. But at the time, you were, I think, like closing in on $2 million of revenue, 200 plus clients. It was you plus three team. There were four of you in total, which is a pretty darn lean, efficient, like high productivity practice. So I guess first and foremost, just wondering, like, help us start to play out, like, what's happened over the past few years as you continued that growth trajectory.
So to me, it reignited my passion for the industry when I finally convinced myself that I was able to get paid for my time and ideas. So I grew up in the insurance world to start, and then I jumped to the AUM at all costs world. And in both worlds, I really didn't talk about anything but the thing I had to sell. And so when I was introduced to, hey, there's actually a third pillar you're missing where people will pay you just to advise them and not sell them anything. And so as I stumbled down that path and tried to say, well, how do I do this? And I undercharged a lot and I was really inefficient with delivering plans. And so EAN and a lot of the stuff I talk about today, if you're listening and you're driving, we're going to put it up on gobeelite.com. So just go there, find any resources, tools we have. We'll just give it to you guys. But I'm like, I feel like I'm blazing this path kind of on my own. So I was kind of getting punched a lot. But I was committed to.
In what way? I mean, you were running a $2 million revenue practice with three team and 200 plus clients. So by most standards, like, that's a pretty darn amazing, yep, good metrics business in and of itself. So like, where were the challenges and punches coming for you in practice? Like, what was going on that we can't see in those numbers?
That's fair. Yeah. I think there's a version of that where people might be listening and be like, you did it. Like, just hang out. Put your feet up. There's something in me that that wants to find a better path. You know, there's kind of the average path. You build a practice that makes you great income, and once you get there, then you just kind of let it coast. And I think that's fine to some degree. But I was, you know, in my early 30s, like, still kind of hungry as an entrepreneur to say what's next. And so, build this AUM practice, make more money than I ever thought I could, and then I introduce a new business essentially within my business that requires new systems, a new way of prospecting. And when you do something like that, you kind of shake up the team and you shake up your business to where you're really saying, I'm taking this thing that has gotten to some level of streamline and I'm going to break it on purpose.
And that shift was going from AUM to alternative fee models.
Introducing financial planning. And my first financial plan was $1,500 for a 12-month engagement.
Okay.
And I still laugh because if when I gave that proposal to these two doctor, they were lawyers and they were making like $350,000 combined, and I swore they were going to tell me no. So the head trash of Sten growing up in the business was like, you're not worth the money. The product is the thing, but your knowledge and your time, you got to give that away for free.
Who, you know, it's just me. Who would really pay me like $1,500 for the things just in my head that I'd like talk? Do they give me money for that?
Yeah. And then how do I present that thing? What's my onboarding paperwork? What's the actual deliverable I give them at this point? Because I've never had to do that before. I've kind of sprinkled free financial planning on while I've managed the money. But I say, because you're paying me the AUM fee, I'm going to give you this stuff for free. And that was hardwired into me. I had to kind of break that in myself to say, hey, maybe there's a different way. And then the head trash is, well, wait, does that mean I've been doing it wrong the whole time? And so there's this period of wrestling, and your team feels that. If your leader is semi-midlife crisis of career of like, maybe there's a different way to do this. Maybe I can actually get paid really well for my time and ideas. So I had to start restructuring the team to support this new product. And what's great about financial planning is we learned we were getting paid for the thing we were giving away for free, which was our time and ideas. We had to build a system to kind of formalize it and give them a deliverable with action items. But then we got more AUM. And we got more insurance deals that were large insurance deals that we wanted to help clients with. And so it was going really, really well.
Raise your hand if you've ever been to a financial advisor event that didn't really change you. Maybe the speakers were interesting, maybe you had a few good conversations, but when you got home, nothing about your business actually improved. I've been to a lot of these events over the years. Events full of inspiration, but short on practical strategies you can actually use. The advisor of the future knows how to clearly communicate their value, prospect with intention, and deliver financial planning advice clients actually understand. That's why we built How to Charge Live. This isn't an event built around hype or theory. It's an event built for advisors by advisors. 1,000 advisors have attended How to Charge Live, including advisors with more than 20 years of business experience. And over we hear the same thing. This is the best advisor event I've ever attended. I want to personally invite you to join me at my office in Franklin, Tennessee this October for 2 days focused on helping you build more valuable business. I'm going to walk you through my entire process, how to communicate your value well, how to add value through fee-based financial planning, and how to create a framework to help you scale your business faster. Seats are limited, so visit howtochargelive.com to secure your seat now. It's the adage of, you know, what got you here isn't going to get you there. And I think a lot, I see a lot of advisors struggling with that, where it's like, hey, it kind of works. I make enough money. And sometimes we go in and say, hey, let's tear it down and rebuild it, because more of the same thing is, you've kind of hit your capacity.
Well, to me, it's all a capacity constraint. Just for anyone that's lived the business owner founder journey. And I mean, I've done this a couple of times now of, you know, growing XY Client Network, growing Advice Pay, growing the Kitsis.com platform, new plan recruiting, FP Pathfinder, like, yeah, even outside of the advisory firm where, you know, the original firm I was at, I didn't found, but I showed up when we were under 200 million. I was there when we were over 2 billion. I lived a 10X growth cycle at that business as well. And just, there's an interesting dynamic that comes that as businesses just keep growing, you hit natural capacity points in the business. There's one where you can't handle any more clients. Then there's one where you can't handle any more direct report employees. Then there's a couple others as the business gets larger and more complex. And one of the biggest takeaways for me, I feel like one of those, I wish someone had told me when I started down the entrepreneurial journey, is how much your business requires you to change.
Wow.
To adapt to the needs of the business. It's kind of like, it's like a very lopsided, needy one-way relationship that you're stuck in. And the point at which I see most advisory firms stop growing or struggle is essentially when you get to the point where you're not willing to change anymore.
Wow.
And like, sometimes it's because you don't think you can change. Sometimes it's like, look, I make pretty good money. The business is in a good place. Like, that's cool. Like, if you're where you want to be and you're in your happy place, like, hang out in your happy place. But that is when the growth generally stops. And if you try to grow past that point without being willing to change, then things start breaking. Like, your time goes up, your happiness goes down. You start getting turnover problems. You start getting attrition problems. Like, everything starts feeling like a mess all the time. Then you got to figure out how to right size it, which is an even less pleasant process. But that dynamic of, there are just very natural capacity points that happen in any growing business. And if you don't realize what they are and you're not cognizant of them and you're not ready to change when you whack into one of those growth capacity walls, it will flatline the growth of your business. And again, if you're happy with where it is, that might be fine. But if you're wired for growth, you have to keep changing in really material ways, or the business gets stuck.
I do not have to take every punch right on the nose if I'm willing to kind of be curious and humble. But the one that hit me in the face right now was 100% turnover of my financial advisory practice, which is, if you would ask me 5-6 years ago, like, no, there's somebody that's going to be here for the next 40 years. Like, I bet I'm loyal, they're loyal. And so to come out the other side of it and say, I have to completely rebuild this thing while owning my part in whatever caused it to get to a place of not working or scaling like I wanted it to, which is my skill level of attracting talent, hiring talent. Like, now there's a skill set that I was good enough for a while, but I'm realizing, man, to take this thing from, you know, 3 million to 6 million, it's a different type of person that has to be on the team.
So I want to get further into this in a moment, but before I do, just, I want to make sure I'm really clear on just the, where the business was in the state of affairs when you're having this, like, it's not working, I think I'm going to have to blow some things up kind of feeling. So you're 3 million of revenue, you're 8 people on the team at that point.
Yeah, it was built with a kind of a junior advisor, a paraplanner. At a point, I had another kind of senior producing advisor in here. But what I didn't do was create a consistent culture that said everyone that works here is required to work hard. But if I have an advisor that joins the team that's like, hey, I'm making enough personal income for myself, so I'm going to show up to team meetings late and not really care about the company. And I wasn't clear about, hey, there's a standard of you actually have to add new clients and grow. So my lack of experience in this or anticipating people's tendencies is I ended up with a bunch of people that were like, hey, I'm pretty comfortable. Sten, you go do your thing. Let me know if you need my help. And then I become the sole problem solver. Okay. And everyone, you know, team meetings where people sitting there looking at Sten being like, what do you want us to do? And I'm like, no, I need you guys to tell me what problems are happening. And I need you to come with three solutions because I'm hitting my capacity. And then throw into that, my personal world kind of takes a huge turn and kind of falls apart while I'm trying to show up at work. And so all of a sudden, when the team is getting less of Sten, these gaps reveal themselves. And I'm like, oh no, unless they're getting 100% of me every day in a healthy way, this thing's not working. And I take credit for some of that I didn't hold people accountable or I didn't hire them right with clear expectations. But those roles, I started almost looking at each role individually. And it was like my director of ops, we transitioned to the Schwab platform. That fell apart. We missed billing for like 4 months on our accounts and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I was like, that's a miss. Like, what happened there? Or it was my junior advisor that wanted to be an advisor, but he was unwilling to prospect. And he'd say, I'm not going to prospect. I just need you to give me clients. So I'm like, well, I can kind of do that, but you also need to prospect. And so it was almost like role by role revealed that the people were kind of willing to be average in their role, but not be elite and didn't want to be pushed. And so I feel it as I talk about it, that it almost felt like one at a time, they just fell apart in front of my face until the point where I'm like, man, I'm left. There's four of us. And it was kind of a cleansing and a restart, but in the moment it was like, I failed. Like this thing, just the thing I've spent 8-9 years building that I thought I had arrived. And I'm the guy that's on podcasts. I'm the guy writing books on this stuff. And this thing is just falling apart in front of me.
So this is helping to kind of clarify. So you get scenarios like, okay, we transition to Schwab. We got to figure out the new billing structure, like how to execute on their platform. My director of ops can't seem to actually figure it out. And so if I, Sten, don't get in there and figure it out for them, we're just not going to have billing happen. And since you had too many other things going on for other parts of the business, you couldn't get in there, and then a whole bunch of billing doesn't happen and revenue doesn't come in. So like it's scenarios like that across the firm. I'm inferring that means all of a sudden things just aren't getting figured out and solved if Sten can't come in and literally personally solve them.
That's right. And there's a point in that where, you know, I've gone through days where I've kind of lost faith. I'm like, maybe these people don't exist, you know? And I talk to some peers and I'm like, okay, they do exist. Like, I need to do my part. I need to level up. There's times where when I hire people, I ask them in a meeting, I draw a circle on the whiteboard and I'm like, if this represents 100% of what is necessary for you to thrive in your role, what percentage of responsibility do you hold? And what percentage of responsibility do I hold as the business owner? And the hope is whatever percentage they come up with and tell you is it's mostly them. Like, I'm here to help you succeed, but if you're relying on me for your success, but you're not going to come ask me for help, and like somehow I have to chase you down and kind of force you to do the things to be successful, like I don't have the energy for that. Like, and most likely I will always get it wrong. Like, I need you to drive the success of your role, the curiosity to get better. And that is a type of person. I think some of that can be trained if you have a good culture and a good system. But as soon as you realize that someone is not willing to do that, they can't stay on the team for another year or two. You have to have the hard conversations as quick as possible, because part of that is you defending the culture for everybody else. You think you're being nice to that one person, but everyone else is suffering to some degree by doing that.
So when you said like suddenly staff starts winnowing down and you're down to four of you, so help me understand what's playing out there. Are you having hard conversations and letting people go? Or are you having hard conversations and people are saying, maybe I don't want to work here after all? Or are they just some people just quitting because they're not enjoying work at this point because hard things are happening and it's not going well? Like, how did actual headcount start winnowing in practice?
I think I had one in every one of those ones you just said.
Okay.
I think there was some that I started applying a healthy pressure to. Hey, by this next Friday, I need to have this thing from you, like some accountability. And they kind of crumbled under that. and kind of, you know, emotionally kind of rejected it and got frustrated with that. And so they, a healthy accountability kind of weeded some of those people out. Some were some other advisors that were really content with their personal income, and they were taking up a nice office space and didn't want to really be part of the company. They're kind of a lone wolf. And so I went to them and I said, hey, here's what's about to change. You're going to be held accountable. We're going to have metrics. Is that something you're going to get on board with? And if they, two of them said no. And so I said, here, we're going to figure out a way for you to transition your book out. And so where we stand today is we have a little more AUM than we had in the past, but we have like 90 households. And so we're even more of an efficient practice because we've kind of weeded some stuff out. And then some of those were just really direct, hard conversations of like, we've talked about this. This isn't working. I think, you know, we need to find a better place for you to go where you can thrive because you're not thriving here. So it was a combination of all of that, that, you know, losing one person is challenging. If this starts happening all at once, it is a feeling as an entrepreneur and a business owner of like, should I even be allowed to do this? Where am I missing? And I think for me, as I coach other advisors and work with other business owners, I'm like, part of it is like, I just want to normalize the challenge of this. That I got spoken into. It's like, Sten, this doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It's the good to great principle. It's like, this is a good sign. You hit a plateau, but a plateau means it's you're on your way to your next plateau. Like, grow to the next place. It's not a sign you're doing something wrong necessarily.
As an advisor, I'm always curious about what is the path that most people don't choose. It may be the most difficult and challenging, but it will get me to my goal faster than everybody else. So we are launching Elite Plus. This is the community for advisors that really want to engage. You get to hang out with me a couple times a month live, asking questions, trying to grow our practice together. You'll get for free our financial planning software that will help you deliver a better financial planning experience to your clients. You'll have access to Q&A cohorts with other advisors, and you'll have our full library of resources. This is for you if you are ready to go all in. If you want to be challenged to grow, you need to come hang out in Elite Plus. Join the Elite Plus membership today. Visit gobeelite.com and experience the program that transforms advisors into leaders.
As I always joke, you put 100 advisors in a room, you get 100 different ways of doing business. So almost none of us copy exactly what anybody else does because we all want it in our own flavor. But it really helps sometimes just to see like exactly what other advisors are doing. And so we really took a different approach with our summits to say like, no consultants, no vendors, no one's going to tell you what you should be doing. We're just going to show you some other things that advisors are doing that's successful and working for them. And that sparks some ideas for you. That's fantastic. Go figure out what your version is of that that will be successful for you in your practice. So we've been doing these for a couple of years now, but the coming year is just going to be more summits, more courses, more content we're putting out on that end, and just a lot of work that we're doing behind the scenes to really get ready to scale up for the next stage of growth from our end. So it's actually going to 2023 will be a big year of just some technology investments behind the scenes. We've got to re-architect the whole backend database that powers all this stuff to make sure that we can handle the next stage of growth. So it's not the, you know, that end of the business, I guess, apropos to some of the themes of the podcast, like that's not the most exciting, like sexy stuff. Say like, here's the awesome new thing I'm rolling out. It's like, yeah, we're going to rip out the back end and spend like a year re-architecting it from scratch. But sometimes like that's what you have to do for the business. And so it's going to be a relatively significant pause year for us on revenue growth. We'll still grow some, but not nearly what we did for the past 2 or 3 years. But it's doing the internal work on the business that's necessary to set the foundation, because I'm super excited about the growth we're going to be doing in 2024 and 2025 off of the foundation that we're rebuilding in the coming year.
As you know, this is a podcast about success. And one of the themes that always comes up, just that word success means different things to different people. It can even change for us as we go through stages of life and stages of both growth of the business. And so you continue to have what by any traditional metric is an incredibly successful advisory firm. And I believe you're still in your 30s and have a long, long time horizon for this. So the business is in a wonderful place. How do you define success for yourself at this point?
I think in the last season, success launching EAN and building a community of advisors and kind of pouring into people and sharing what I've learned the hard way and that being successful. And I think that for me was a season of like, we did it. Like people, the feedback we're getting is, this is the best event we've been to. You've changed my practice. Like I love the feedback me and the team are getting on that front. I think the next season for me is I want the companies I have to be able to run in a healthy way without my being dependent on me. And so if we talk a year or two from now and I say, Michael, when I show up, they're like, oh, hey, Stan, how you doing? And they don't need me. And I can be gone for 2 weeks, 4 weeks at a time. And the company thrives in my absence. I think that to me would be the next professional accomplishment, is to find great leaders, develop them, and trust them to thrive on their own. All right. If you felt some tension in this episode, that was the point. Because growth ceilings are not tactical problems, they're identity problems. What you've heard today wasn't about hiring better, rebuilding your infrastructure team, or raising your minimums. It was about the moment every advisor hits where you realize what got you here today won't get you where you want to go tomorrow. You can scale yourself for a while. You can push harder for a season. You can outwork the ceiling temporarily, but eventually the next level requires a new version of you. This will show up as more humility, more structure, clarity, at times better talent, more clear boundaries, and the willingness to fire yourself from roles that once made you successful. And here's the real truth. You don't have to figure it out alone. Inside the Elite Advisor Network, this is what we do. We talk about real ceilings, the uncomfortable growth walls, strategy to rebuild teams, and the infrastructure resets. We're around like-minded advisors who are serious about leveling up, not just adding AUM and selling product. If you're looking to level up your practice, celebrate real wins, and go from average to elite, come hang out with us in the EAN membership. We'd love to build the next version of your business and you together. I'll talk to you soon.